winter could spell bad news for your vehicle's battery. Here are three maintenance tips from the battery gurus at R&J Batteries. 1. Avoid frequent short trips to keep your battery at a healthy state of charge. 2. Keep the battery terminals clean and corrosion free. 3. Avoid running your accessories with the engine off for too long. If your battery is 3 years or older, it might be time to get it tested for free at your local R&J Batteries. R&J Batteries, power like nothing else.
This week on Full Credit to the Noise, Will Power shows great willpower to win in Indy. SVG shows great shoulder power to win in Xfinity. And did McLaren do Oscar dirty? Welcome to Full Credit to the Noise. Well, hello, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to Full Credit to the Noise. Don't forget you can find this podcast on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at FCTTN Podcast. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at former_legend. You can find the bloke across from me on Twitter at AVL_motorsport. He's on Instagram at AVL.motorsport. He's on Weibo at Sweet and Sour AVL. He's the man who this week collected King's Day honours for services to bottle shops. He has a betting account that's emptier than the Driver of the Day Award, and tonight he's wearing Alice Springs dust like a cheap foundation. Welcome to Speed Cafe's Andrew Van Leeuwen.
Thank you, Former, for that intro, some of which is accurate, some of it not quite. It wasn't a bad weekend on the punt, to be honest, but you are bang on about the shade of red dust that I'm currently running, given I'm still in Alice Springs after an incredible few days of covering the Fink Desert Race for the very first time.
Well, that's what I was going to say. A few things happened over the weekend. We had Indy at Road America. We had NASCAR and the Xfinity Series over at Sonoma. We had F1 in Canada. Meanwhile, you're out recreating Brokeback Mountain, just two blokes sharing a tent in the outback, tunes playing. Tell us all about it. How was it? It looks like an event everyone should go to at least once.
It was actually awesome. Myself and my friend Will Hall from Authentic Collectibles, we camped out about 45 k's into the stage on the Saturday night, which was an unbelievable experience. We then watched the cars and bikes come through on the Sunday morning, which was, well, the cars in the morning, the bikes in the early afternoon, which was spectacular. Spent Monday at the start-finish line at Alice Springs, and the sheer exhaustion and emotion for the finishes is something that I've never really seen firsthand in motorsport before. It's such a big deal just to get to the finish, and if you happen to be winning it, it's an even bigger deal. And there were some great stories at the finish on Monday. Bo Robinson won the cars category. The first time he came to Fink, he was still in his mother's womb, he was saying. You know, his dad raced there for years and years. He has a really strong connection to the event through his family. His dad was involved in off-road racing and Fink for a really long time. Bo's been trying to win this thing for years. He's been on the podium about 1,000 times, and there were plenty of tears when he finally got the job done this morning, sort of roughly a year after his dad's passing as well. So he's a weapon of a dude as well, a good West Aussie. Apparently, the rumor is he has a lifetime ban from a certain drinking and gaming establishment here in Alice Springs, which I reckon would be a pretty hard achievement to actually do. So that's impressive on its own.
It was just
one of those great Fink stories. It was really good.
So tell us, like, you drove from, where'd you drive from to get there? How'd you get there?
From Adelaide. Will drove all the way from Perth. I met him in Adelaide, and we drove up from Adelaide up. We stayed the first night about 100K north of Cooper Pedy, and then into Alice on Saturday, and then pretty much went straight out into the stage and camped out there. And it's just the campsites, you know, we were on the kind of, let's say, the cautious side of the road crossing, where you kind of get locked into the event if you go past the Deep Well road crossing. And it was still wild enough, and apparently it only gets wilder the further into the stage you actually go. But watching those trophy trucks and buggies rip through there at speed is unbelievable. And then the bike guys come through, and you're kind of 20-25 minutes into the stage for them, and you look at them hustling those bikes and go, you've got like an hour and a half of that to go. Like, that is insane that those guys do.
The arm
like
pump.
They really It's crazy. It's amazing what they do. Great result on the bikes as well. Hometown hero, David Walsh from Alice Springs. Fifth consecutive win on his KTM. Again, you know, people are piling back in there that have looked like they've really been to hell and back to get that done on two wheels. And then there was the production class, which was there was a whole heap of focus on because it was Craig Lowndes versus Ford. Mm. You know, factory-backed entries from both Ford Performance and from Chevrolet Racing. First time for Craig Lowndes doing that event. Like, incredible that he goes and does it because it ain't glamorous. That's the one thing I'll tell you. It's amazing, but it ain't glamorous. There's no way he was adding a story onto his house and what he would have been getting paid to go and bash out in the bush that weekend. And he seemed to just absolutely love it. Won the prologue for their class, won the first leg for their class, even though the Ford was definitely quicker out on the stage, but the Chevy was a bit more reliable on the first leg. But unfortunately, it was a bit less reliable on the second leg. They were ahead, and it broke some front suspension, and the Ford just kept on going. So the Ford crew were pretty happy. Brad and Byam Lovell, who come all the way from the States to race that thing 2 years in a row now. So there was a whole heap of interest on that. And, you know, they're sort of down the back of the field, but there was still all this interest on it. And again, it doesn't matter where anyone's running because just making the finish is such a huge achievement. As the Chevy guys found out, it's really not that easy. Mm. But look, I don't want to bang on about it. It's an amazing event. Standing at the finish line is like nothing else because nobody knows who's going to appear first, really. You know who was leading at the last checkpoint, and you don't know exactly when they're going to appear. There's this kind of lack of information that just makes it so exciting. And the atmosphere is electric, you know, for both the cars and the bikes at the finishes, when everyone sort of had this sort of a sense of, okay, it's going to be soon. Everyone's looking for dust out in the distance to see when they're coming. Like it's bizarre, mate. It really is. So for anyone out there that's never been, make sure you go. Cause like that was just a heap of fun.
Did anyone give the bike car double a crack this year?
David Walsh kind of did. So he's a navigator for one of the car crews for Brent Smoothie. Okay. So they were sitting third on overnight. And
what's his driver's name?
Brent Smoothie.
Oh, he'd have to be sponsored by Boost, surely. What a missed opportunity if he isn't.
I know. Yeah, I'm sure his nickname must be Banana or something like that. But so they were third overnight. So they were kind of a chance of for David to do the double. It's not quite the full Ironman like Toby used to try and do because he's not driving the truck, but still would be a remarkable achievement. So he was choppering backwards and forwards to do it. They crashed out. They had a flat sort of midway through the stage today and parked the car so he could get in a chopper and get back for the start of the bikes. And then he cruised back on the bikes to win that for a fifth time. Which again, if you think about what your body goes through to do that, it's absolutely remarkable. When you see these guys in both categories out on the stage, like it's mind blowing the speed that they're going. And it's just you have to see it to believe it. I sort of understood a lot about it, but you have to see it to believe it.
I wouldn't mind having a look myself. That sounds
come next
fun.
Year. It's come a next year.
Good idea to have a drink.
Now. I'm locked in now. So come next year.
And you were saying you were going to invite two of our listeners in a lucky draw thing, which is very, very charitable of you.
Why not?
All right, let's go to the shift cut. Well, in the ongoing supercar drivers visiting NASCAR story, we headed over to Sonoma, and Will Brown had electrical issues in qualifying and the race that led to a DNF after finishing practice one in third. Well, Cameron Waters got skittled through no fault of his own that caused damage to a tow link that resulted in a DNF as well. Before I head over for your opinion here, mate, once again, shout out to the TV coverage for giving us a reminder of how good we actually do have it over here in Australia, even with scathe commentating. Wow.
Yeah, look, I didn't actually get to see much of any of it, to be honest. We were kind of dipping
you
in and out.
You honestly didn't miss much
service
in this.
Yeah. I guess that the whole thing is now that Shane really ruined it for everyone by going and winning that race and just setting the expectations so high.
I'll tell you what, in the weekend, we were thinking, Will Brown, this could be some sort of weekend.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that was a great start for him. And it seems like he had quite a few technical issues from that point on, which really slowed his progress, which was a shame because he did look like he was kind of genuinely in it. And we just know the guy is just in incredible touch at the moment. So if anyone was going to go and do something special, he's just he's just in that form at the moment.
He sort of pushed up some places in the race, and you just started to think, oh, here we go. And then for some reason they flashed away from him and then came back to him and he was parking it. So it was a bit of a shame. But, mate, all of a sudden watching NASCAR races around circuits is absolute fun when there's Aussies over there. It's a ball.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, I think it looks like Cam did a really respectable job as well. Had a couple of issues along the way. I think he got, like you say, he got sort of punted in the race and that sort of stuff.
Oh, he got absolutely cleaned up.
But just happens, particularly when you're not one of the regulars, and if someone does need you to get out of the way, there's a way that they'll do it.
It wasn't even that, mate. A bloke got belted, he pushed himself into the wall, and he came down into basically the last corner hairpin with no brakes collected about three or four of them, and Cam, unfortunately, was one of those. So it was a bit of a shame, but... Yeah, the boys definitely can hold their heads high. It was a good watch, and they Will Brown especially really had some people asking questions like, I don't know, who is Will Brown? Because that was some of the things on Twitter belting around. So
at least his name was probably a bit more palatable for the Americans than when Shane rocked up over there.
Yeah, well, that's true. Very true.
They couldn't seem to get their head around it.
Yeah. Supercars has announced details of its historic track-to-town initiative at this month's Better Darwin Triple Crown. All 25 supercars, including the Super Cheap Auto Wildcard, will leave Hidden Valley Raceway at 4:30, arrive at the Esplanade in Darwin, where a signing session will be held from 5 o'clock. Now, get this, burnouts are strictly prohibited by organisers. However, there's been no word on top-speed trials on the way to or from the track.
Oh, I think that's a bit of wishful thinking on your behalf there, former, because I believe there was a note to team saying, I think it's 100 km/h limit. So there's no more track-to-town Grand Prix going to be taking place. I think that, I think that will be fairly strictly enforced as well, because maybe, road traffic enforcement is a little more,
a little stricter in Australia than it is. Speed limits up that way?
No, having driven through a lot of the Northern Territory, I can tell it's 130. A lot of the stretch from the border to Alice Springs is 130. But obviously in Australia things are a little stricter than they are in New Zealand. So I think the teams will be saying, "Hey, let's not ruin this for everyone by doing something silly." But this is a great idea. As we said after New Zealand, taking your super cool racing cars to the people is a good thing. And it plays really well. And, these things aren't easy to organise too. So I think it does, so Supercars deserves a shout out. Whatever mechanisms through the police and the NT government that helped make this happen as well deserve a shout out, because it is a difficult thing to bring together. And it is something really cool that this sport can do to help promote itself.
Oh, fantastic. You're exactly right. I'm a little bit torn, like you say. Do the right thing, keep it all safe, everything else. But then I'm thinking you wouldn't be a man if you didn't have a crack. But anyway, whatever. This year's Super Cheap Auto Bathurst International will be the last. It was conceived in 2019 as a two-driver 500-kilometre enduro featuring international teams. That never happened. When ARG took the tender for the fifth event slot at Mount Panorama, the inaugural Bathurst International was finally held in 2022 after COVID, headlined by a Super Cheap Auto TCR Australia series comprising of three sprint races, no 500-kilometre race. The international element in that year was limited to a cameo from Frenchman Teddy Claret, American Robert Noca in the Trans Am, and European Antonio Alvano Di Alberto from the Italian region of Kilsyth. 2023 attracted more overseas teams and drivers, but the event always seemed to be on a short lifespan.
Shout out to Antonio, who had a full credit to the noise sticker on his Lamborghini at the bend over the weekend.
Yes.
Very much appreciate that one. But yeah, look, this is the right outcome for the Bathurst International. As you flagged, the original idea was actually a good one. At the time, there was so much investment from Brian Boyd going into the series. Mm. And they probably could have, without COVID interjecting, pulled it off. And maybe if you make a good start, then it probably ends up about where it's ended up now, given if we look at the trajectory of TCR.
Yeah, but, I agree. Worldwide, it's sort of dropped off, hasn't it?
Yeah. But we might have got a few good years out of the international. We didn't really get that. It kind of became another club meeting event at Bathurst, TCR World Tour aside. And there's already a club meeting style event at Bathurst, and that's the 6-hour. That's the chance for the sort of every man to go and have a burn around Bathurst at a proper race event if they want to do that. So we don't need to have five events. For a long time, we didn't have five events. So I'd rather see the fifth event shelved until there's a worthy use for it, to be honest.
What about we ask our listeners what they would like the fifth event to be?
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
It's a good idea.
So climb into that. If you can think of a fifth event, serious or not, I mean, no dramas, but I wouldn't mind people come up with some really good ideas because it's such a great track. It's a shame it's only used so few times during the year. Let's look at Kiwis and Aussies overseas. And Shane Van Gisbergen won the Sonoma Zip Buy Now, Pay Later, or Sell Your Mum's TV to Make Payments 250 in the Xfinity Series around Sonoma, as I said, after barging past the great and very likable Austin Hill on a late restart. Hill was leading when the field took the green with 11 to go, at which point the Kiwi got on the inside as they climbed into turn two and shouldered the Troy Kinney lookalike off the track. Contact ensued, I should say. Unlike their stoush at the Circuit Americas in March, this latest incident appeared unintentional, with Van Gisbergen kicking up the dirt in his inside before sliding wide, yada, yada, yada. Saying that after the race, if you had a look at some photos from some of the clever photographers out there, you'll see Hill's given SVG the bird as he was going past him and drifting him. So
good. Such great photos. Yeah, I'm not convinced this was entirely unintentional. I think there was a bit of payback there, but that's how they go racing over there.
100%.
That's how it happens. And Shane has said, I think he learned a lot at that, where was it? You did mention it before, where Circuit at Coda, you know, yeah, where that didn't work out well for him. I think he learned a lot. And I think he made the call that he was going to win that race, and that's how he was going to win it. And good on him, because that's how you go racing. And we touched on it last week. It's not like the guy's scared of bashing panels. Like, no one's gonna frighten him. And he's just got his get his head around how it all works. Probably unlearn some of the things from supercars, where obviously we don't do that sort of stuff.
Yep.
And get amongst it. And it looks like he is. And, you know, again, as we said the other day, it is, once he figures it all out, watch out. And that's definitely in the sort of zone we're in right now.
Yeah, I think life was made a lot easier when he did see that it was Austin Hill at the front. I think he thought, well,
yeah,
it might have been different had it been someone that he, you know, had a bit of time for or anything, but I think everything was sort of, the stars aligned almost. It was the perfect storm of you beauty. I could do this with a very clear conscience at the end. In the F1, Max won an absolute crazy race in Canada. Oscar ran fifth. Danny Ric ran a solid eighth. Now, I reckon Oscar was done dirty by his own team. He had both the Mercedes up his Kyber. His teammate was in front of him, and they did ask him, can you chase down Max if we let you through? He said, no, I'm busy with Hamilton. Yet the offer was never made by the team or by Lando to let Oscar Pistorius pick up the DRS, which I think is a really bad play, and I'm surprised no one's actually picked up on it, because he could have just sat a second in front, let Oscar have the DRS, and I tell you what, it would have made life very much a lot harder for the Mercedes.
Yeah, it did get touched on after the race, and Oscar said that he did want that, and he was kind of asking for that. Remember, you don't hear every radio transmission. You know, you only hear what Sky actually publishes. Oh, sorry, you know.
So whose decision was it not to give it to him?
I'm not 100% sure, but he did concede afterwards that at the very time it would have helped him, but it also may very well have helped the Mercedes get to Lando if they'd got through him. And he said at the sort of pace they were going, like they were over a second quicker than him, it was probably inevitable, DRS or not, that he was going to lose the positions, and it might have put Lando at risk. And so I think later he was kind of able to see the bigger picture and go, yeah, that would have been a really good short-term solution and maybe not a great long-term solution, which is very Oscar in the way he thinks about things. But yeah, who really knows? Obviously they didn't feel comfortable doing it, and that may well explain it.
I know I sound like just sticking up for the Aussie here, but I just wonder if positions were reversed, literally, whether they would have said to him, can you make sure Lando picks up the DRS for a while? I just get the feeling it'd be different. I feel like there's just a little bit of a inequality in that team. I get it. I understand why in some cases, but yeah, I just feel like they should have done that.
I don't know. I don't know if that would have happened. Unless they thought they could do it. If they had the same concerns, I'm not convinced that they that they would have put Oscar at that risk.
Okay. IndyCar, Will Power scored a win at Road America, ending a two-year winless drought ahead of Penske teammates Joseph Newnuffin and Scott McLaughlin. Geez, those Penske cars look strong. Scott Dixon and Marcus Marshall had days to forget. Let's just leave it at that. Did you see any of this?
I didn't see any of it. No. Not none of the race, sorry. I saw highlights of a certain Newgarden shunt, but I didn't see much of the race except just seeing that Will had won, which is always a great result because he's just a legend of a dude.
Absolutely, yeah. Daniel Ricciardo has hit back at Jacques Villeneuve following his stinging criticism of the Aussie on Friday. Villeneuve questioned Ricciardo's place on the grid, arguing he's yet to deliver since leaving Red Bull in 2018. He's got a strange memory, this Villeneuve. We're hearing the same thing now for the past 4 to 5 years. We have to make the car better for him, poor him, the Canadian said on Sky Sports. Sorry, it's been 5 years of that. No, you're in F1. If you can't cut it, go home. There's someone else who can take your place. Ricciardo responded in the best possible manner. He delivered a fifth place in qualifying. He said, I still don't know what he said, but I heard he's been talking shit. But he always does. I think he's hit his head too many times playing ice hockey or something. What do you think?
I'm torn on this because I don't mind the idea of a commentator having a bit of a dip, you know, like rather than being too scared to upset someone because they're going to bump into him in the paddock later, which is a topic we've touched on a lot recently.
Yeah.
But it certainly happens in supercars a lot. I think it'd be great if we had more of these sorts of takes in supercars with guys willing to go, hey, this is what I think, and it might not be popular, but I'm going to go ahead and say it.
That's on you, mate. You're the boy. Do it.
I'm not a TV commentator, mate. So I sort of half sit on that side of it. On the other side, it is incredibly rich coming from a guy who won a title in what was the best car by a mile and then never looked like winning anything ever again to be he's done nothing
in
since
anything.
He left. Yeah, it's right. So it was incredibly rich and a great response from Daniel both on the track and that quote, you know, about I don't know if he plays ice hockey or something, he's elite as well. But at the same time, I'm not going to sit here and say I can't believe this guy had a strong opinion because I do think we need more of them in motorsport and in the media.
Are you saying that Daniel would have invited Jacques into the team huddle after the race? Is that what you're saying in the shed and introduced everyone to him?
Absolutely. I'm absolutely not saying anything about that. But leave it.
In parts, I think he has some point, but then I can argue against that as well. All I think of is if Liam Lawson was an Aussie and Danny was any other nationality, we'd be screaming from the hills, get this bloke out of there.
Correct.
That's one thing.
That is true. That is definitely true. And I think in any other situation, we'd be celebrating, you know, someone teeing off like that and going, how good is this?
Yeah.
But obviously, you know, it's Daniel and he's our Daniel and all that sort of stuff.
Correct.
And I don't like seeing someone teeing off at Daniel either. And that's all what I'm saying. I'm not making judgment on whether I think Jacques is right or not. I don't think he's right. I'm just saying that whether him being lambasted for having an opinion is the right thing, you know, because I think opinions, whether they're right or wrong, when people are brave enough to do that, then that's probably what we need a bit more in our broadcast of, you know, our categories around the world, to be honest.
But the other thing I just wanted to finish on is if Jacques wants to do this and pinpoint where people should and shouldn't be in their careers, he doesn't have to look much further than the only Canadian on the grid right now. Just give us a rundown of where he thinks Lance should be in all of this. So,
That would be interesting too.
Sergio Perez has signed a two-year contract extension with Red Bull and celebrated by qualifying at the back of the field and then crashing in the race, which also landed a blow for Daniel Ricciardo, who, at best, will stay at Visa Cash App, Toro Rosso, AlphaTauri Racing. Adding to the bad news for Ricciardo was a one-year contract extension for his teammate Suzuki Noda, leaving a two-way fight between Danny Ric and Liam Lawson for the final seat.
Yes, good weekend for Dan in some ways, not great weekend for Dan in other ways in terms of the way all those dominoes seem to be falling. It's looking less than ideal, let's put it that way.
Just on MotoGP, six-time MotoGP champ Marc Marquez will race for the factory Ducati team next year. This one came a little bit of a surprise. He signed a two-year contract to ride for the work squad. He'll replace Andrea Bastianini, who is heading to Tech 3. Jorge Martin, who was favourite for the second Ducati seat, announced he's off to Aprilia at year's end, possibly with a number one plate on his bike. I was pleasantly surprised by this, I tell you what, but things will be very, very interesting in the Ducati shed this time, come this time next year.
Yeah, I my only note here is that you must be loving this, because I know that you do like Marcus. Seeing Mark on a good bike. So, yeah, this has got you know, a thing that makes former happy written all over it. But, yeah, it's definitely going to be very interesting, particularly that Martin move as well. Like, it's a good silly season.
Yeah. Finally, can we just end by saying congratulations to Supercars Medico, Dr. Carl Lee, who has been recognised in the King's Birthday Honours for both his contribution to motorsport and the COVID-19 response. So, well done, sir.
Well done. Full credit
to the noise. Are you no longer getting excited about supercars? Is the category no longer giving you the thrills it once did? Struggling to get up for the latest round for Wanneroo? Then it's time to visit Former Legends Supercars ED Clinic. At Former Legends Supercar ED Clinic, our experts start with a questionnaire, finding out when the last time a supercars race had you excited in the trouser department. From there, we work with you to decide what level of little blue pill you need to take before the next supercars race. Whether it's medium, high, or cat's head, we've got the pill for you to bring back some obvious excitement downstairs whenever the supercars hit the track. Just pop a pill as they open pit lane and feel the excitement return. We're so confident in our products, Former Legends Supercars ED Clinic offer customers a money-back guarantee if you're not completely happy with the results. But don't take our word for it. Here's a testimony from one of our very satisfied customers.
Okay, I've got a little bit of load. I can feel it in the palms of my hands and in the seat of my pants.
Former Legends Supercars ED Clinic. We'll lighten your load and bring back the enjoyment of watching supercars quicker than you can say, pop that pill. Yes, welcome back to Full Credit to the Noise. Now, I thought we'd have a game of unders overs. We haven't played this for a while. I'm just going to give you a number. You're going to tell me under or over whether the incident after it will happen. It'll be easy to explain when we just play it. So, how's this, AVL? Under or over 120 kilometres per hour, the top speed on the track to town at Darwin?
I'm going to go unders. As I said, traffic enforcement is a bit stricter in Oz than in New Zealand, and I reckon teams will be telling drivers not to ruin this for everyone.
I'm going overs, but only just. Someone will just have a little tilt. Put it up around the 130 mark, I reckon. Under or overs, 2.5 overseas races for supercars in 26, including New Zealand.
Including New Zealand?
Yes.
Well, this wasn't on the notes. You've stitched me up here. All right. So, including New Zealand, I'm going to still go under. So I think it starts with one additional overseas race in 2026 alongside Taupo.
Okay. Are you thinking Singapore?
I would probably be thinking that would be the prime target, yes.
I've heard that they're flipping back to going to the Middle East. But anyway, all right. And then I'm just adding 2 and 7 together to get 29, and I'm going to say that one New Zealand, one Singapore, and one Middle East. But we'll take 3. So I'll take overs, you take unders. Under or over, just thought I'd throw this one as a bit of a random. Under or over 2.5 podiums in races for T. Randall in 2024.
He loves a strong finish to the season, based on last year at least. So I'll go overs.
We're not going to the bend.
Well, he's got a mixed history at the bend.
Yeah, he's quick there. He's just quick to end in some races, that's all. I'm going to look, and there's nothing against Thomas here, but I think he's around 10th in the championship. And he's just been like the anonymous man for mine. He just hasn't been anywhere, but he's just gathered points, I gather, by being 10th. I'm going to say under, unfortunately. I'll say under. Under or over 10.2 10.5, if that makes sense, by year's end for Ryan Wood in the championship. He's currently 16th on 526 points, 100 behind our man T. Randall in 10th.
I'll be brave and go under. They'll do better than 10.5, but I think it will be really tough, not because he's not incredibly fast. We've touched on that many times before, but there's still a heck of a learning curve there ahead of him, so it could still be tough to get into the 10.
I'm cheering for 10th. Cheering for 10th, and I'll say under, just. Under or over 1.5 wins by SVG in Xfinity Series in 2024, as in any more. There's three road courses left, so 1.5.
Oh, more
yes,
wins.
Yes, more.
Oh, it's because my note here was he's already won twice, so I'll definitely take overs on this one.
It's what happens when you're drinking more, right?
I didn't write this, you did.
I did, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, right, okay, sorry. I thought you were accusing me of things. I'm going to go with under.
Under?
Yeah, I don't think they can win on ovals yet.
But there's three street or road courses left.
Yeah, I think that I'm just going to go. He's also made an enemy if he didn't have one before. So I'm going to go under. I think he'll win in Chicago. They run Chicago, don't they?
Yes. He's got double header that weekend.
Chicago, and it might get tougher from there. That's just based on, I just don't think that Cowlick team is right where they need to be to win on oval. So it would have to be on the road and street courses, and he's making it look easy, but it's not easy.
I'm going to say 2 because he'll win at Watkins Glen and he'll win at Chicago. So
he probably will win at Watkins Glen as well. Damn
I just
it.
See anyway, that Marcus Ambrose, hopefully they run a tribute livery again. That'd be awesome. Under or over 2.5 Aussies on the F1 grid in 2024. 2.5.
Jeez, it's a great question. It's a great one. I'm going to go unders, unfortunately. I can't see the stars aligning to have 3. I don't quite know what
the makeup is.
Yeah, what it exactly will be, but I'm going to go with unders.
I think it might be 1 or 2. I don't think it'll be 3. So I'm going to go unders as well. Yeah. I'd love to see 3, don't get me wrong. Geez, I'd be interested to hear the Sky commentary team. If there was 3 Aussies on the grid, they'd be horrified. So I'm going to go under, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Under or over 1.5, Lewis will beat George in a race in 2024. Finish in front of him 1.5 times.
I'll go over because I think if the car starts going better, Lewis will get a bit more motivated and he'll start going a bit better as well.
I don't know. Lewis seems as flat as a tack. I think he's just counting down the races, to be honest. And he did sort of allude to the fact that things weren't entirely equal in the team, which would only be common sense. Why would you give him updates? Why would you give him full debriefs? Why would you inform him of different things? So I'm going to say under 1.5. I think George will just keep beating him and only DNFs will stop.
It's actually a really good point about, you know, what influence the Ferrari thing plays as the season wears on. So decent shout.
He would have been looking at the Ferraris in Canada going, what have I done? They were horrible. Under or over 0.5 race wins for Oscar in 2024.
I feel like there's enough of a window of inconsistency from Max and Red Bull to go over.
They're definitely coming back to the field.
So I'm gonna be optimistic and go overs on this one.
Yeah, I like it. I just think there might be even a sprint race win. I just think there's something in there for him.
Yeah.
In fact, I think his biggest problem, like you say, you're going to need Red Bull maybe to fall over or something, but I think his biggest problem might be his teammate. Under or over 0.5 wins for Sergio Perez in 2024.
I'm going to go under, which is incredible given how fast that car is.
I agree.
But I just can't see him doing it at the moment. He just doesn't seem capable, which is madness. But that's I just can't go overs. I can't do it.
I cannot see him doing it anywhere. Mexico, maybe they'll get him up. But other than that, I just don't see it. Like last year, he went for a banzai move at Mexico at the first corner.
I think there's too much pressure on him at his home race. Even if he's somewhere near the front, I reckon there's too, given the immense amount of pressure on him.
It's a bit like Weber in Australia and Daniel after him.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think this. I think it's. I don't see him as a as. I see that as a bogey event for him, if anything. And then I just don't see where he gets it done at the moment. I mean, he's,
no. That's
he might
crazy,
come out and win,
in that
he
car.
Might come out and win six races because the car should be good enough to do that. But I just can't see it.
Do you think they've made the right move signing for 2 years?
There must be a reason why they've done it. There must be a reason why they've done it.
I thought about this today. It's one of two things. It's either to keep stability during the transition, given that they're losing Newey, and so they just need as much in place that's similar anyway, or is it an each-way bet because they're going to need a solid number two if Max does pull the pin and go to, say, Mercedes?
Yeah, I don't
They're holding out hope for Mercedes.
What is there? Is there commercial, you know, implications?
Oh, no doubt.
Well.
He brings money.
You know? So there's a whole bunch of reasons, but obviously the fact it's not a one-year deal, it obviously stacks up in a way that isn't outwardly obvious to everybody.
Mm. Under or over 1 million social media jokes about push to pass whenever Penske win a race in 2024?
I wasn't following along too closely on the weekend, but were they flowing when
when
Newgarden had that spin, had that spin and crash in qualifying? Like, did he accidentally?
People
press
were saying
button
he was reaching for the button instead of reaching for the brake. It was exactly as you would expect.
Okay. I'll go overs then. I figured that would be the case. I'll go overs.
Now, Grant, listen to this bit because it's up to you whether this stays in or not.
Oh,
under
no.
or over 6.5 inches, how far Ted Kravitz's tongue is up Lando Norris's.
This was not on the script. This one was not on the script.
I'll take an overs if you want.
I'm not answering.
He's definitely, I'm telling you, mate, he's moving tonsils. That's how far up. All right, let's go to a break.
Please.
Full credit to the noise.
If you're out there building, nailing, capping, chipping, smoko van stalking and radar watching, and you're on your way to chuck up some framing, you don't want to be dealing with a work truck that's been rear-ended and...
Oh, my truck.
You could get it fixed fast by Truck Assist, the insurance to keep on earning, with downtime cover to pay for that rental truck you're hiring. So get on to truckassist.com.au. It'll take 5 minutes and... Limits and exclusions apply. Consider the PDS and TMD on the Truck Assist website. And
yes, welcome back to the final segment of this episode of Full Credit to the Noise, Rear of Grid. And it's not selling it short by saying, and I am in all sorts, I am in dire straits in the Mum's Life Sticker Challenge.
Yeah.
If you haven't heard this before, I'm going to make a statement. AVL tells me whether it's a lie or whether it's a fact. Currently, the score is 12-6. I am falling so far behind, they're calling me Sergio. I am in all sorts. I'm going to make this statement now. Again, I'm asking you to listen to the facts, okay?
Mm-hmm. Listening.
One of the most famous races in Formula One history is Senna's unbelievable win in the 1993 race at Donington. Do you remember it? In the rain.
Mm-hmm.
I think he gained 6 positions in the first lap alone. The race is, of course, most famous for Senna's incredible first lap and dominant drive across the race. It was also a very chaotic race due to changing weather conditions. The great Alain Prost alone pitted 7 times, which is still a record for a Grand Prix. On one occasion, Senna came in to pit for a change of tyres, but not only was his crew not ready, they actually were all still huddled in the pit garage. So Senna continued through the pits and rejoined the race. As a result, he set the fastest lap of the race on that lap. True or false?
I'm going to go with false.
12-7.
Because
the way Donington was set up, it was actually quicker to go through pits than it was to do a full lap because you cut out the last corner and a half. So,
yep. Yeah, there you go.
Thank you, God. Thank you.
Yeah, you needed that.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I'm in all sorts of trouble. People were saying that you should make him start guessing numbers and all sorts of things during the week. So everyone's on former's side. They just don't know how we're going to get the win. all right, let's talk about our fan letter of the week. Don't forget you can message us on all the socials at FCTTN Podcast, X, Instagram and Facebook. This one comes from Scott_Hatton09 on Insta. He says, hey fellas, another question for you. With all the chat currently of Aussies going abroad to race in NASCAR, do you think there would be any appetite going forward for supercars to form some sort of technical alliance with NASCAR and use their current cup cars in supercars? Surely from a cost perspective, it would make sense, takes the development cost out of the series and also provides guys that want to explore their dream, the US dream, a stepping stone in the States. The cup cars seem to produce pretty good racing on road courses, so that's that box ticked. What do you reckon?
I don't think we're ever going to see the full use of Cup Series cars, you know, in Australia and supercars in the US, so to speak. But I think we're going to continue to see more collaboration between the manufacturers on the two platforms. You know, they are becoming more and more similar. The gearbox is almost the same. It's just a 5-speed version of the NASCAR. Obviously, the current spec NASCARs are just much more similar to a supercar. We've seen NASCAR teams taking supercars and using them as sort of test mules for road courses and that sort of stuff. And I think we're going to see more of that in an official capacity, particularly as, you know, I guess Chev's in the same boat. GM is in the same boat, in the US, in Australia, in that it needs a Camaro replacement at some point.
Yep.
And in some point in the not too distant future, really, because I think production ends this year on that car. So I think we could see some collaboration, some really proper official collaboration amongst the GM group across the two different countries as they kind of work on what they use as the successor to the Camaro in both supercars and in NASCAR. So I think we're going to see the cars become more and more alike. I think there will be a lot of technical collaboration. They'll never quite be identical because they are completely different categories at the end of the day. But, yeah, we are going to see more technical alliances between the two for sure.
I don't mind it, but there's two things I don't really want. I don't want to lose the look of our cars because compared to the NASCARs, they look a way better, a length of the straight better actually, especially in the second point in as long as I never have to look at that Supra in Australia. The Supra NASCAR is the dumbest looking car I've ever seen in my life. It's a Supra nose followed by a Camry body followed by a Supra arse end. It looks ridiculous. So I don't want to see that car either. So it's a yes, yes and a no for me. So I'm happy with where you just sat with it, sharing and collaborating ideas and everything else is great, but I don't want to see them as our premier category.
Yep.
All right, that'll about do us for this episode of Full Crew of the Noise. Don't forget, you can find the show on all the socials at FCTTN Podcast. You can read AVL's excellent work at speedcafe.com. Head over there to read all the big breaking news first. Until next time, I've been former legend. He's been AVL. This has been Full Crew of the Noise, and we'll see you in a two-man team.
Bye.
See ya. Full credit to the noise.